Good morning. This is Talking Animals. My guest today will be Jack Tallman, founder of Fostering is Cool, which promotes the fostering of dogs and cats, working in concert with rescue groups to save hundreds of animals from an otherwise grim fate. We'll speak with him in a few moments, in studio, no less. Also, as the prize for Name That Animal Tune, we'll give away a pair of tickets to see an interesting bill pairing singer-songwriter Tift Merritt and classical pianist Simone Dinderstein at the Straz this Saturday, April 6th. Right now, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune of sorts from an animal band of sorts. This is Eels live with Little Bird here on Talking Animals.
Little bird hopping on my porch. Know it sounds kind of sad, but what's it all for? Right now, you're the only friend I have in the world, and I just can't take out very much. Goddamn, I miss that girl. Little bird, you look all right. I'm sure it's not easy getting through your night. So tell me this can't be how it's gonna end. Tell me my heart somehow. Dear God, it's gonna mend. It take me out without a fight, but right now I can't see making sense of this world, and I just can't take out very much. Goddamn, I miss that girl.
All right, that was Eels with Little Bird. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. And my guest today is Jack Tallman, founder of Fostering is Cool, a Tampa organization that cultivates the fostering of dogs and cats, working with rescue groups and others to place animals in temporary homes while awaiting permanent ones. In this way, they've already helped some 500 cats and dogs. So, with the reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Jack Tallman to WMNF and Talking Animals. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Duncan. Thank you for inviting me. I'm honored to be here.
Absolutely. So happy you're here. And, of course, we're here chiefly to discuss fostering is cool and fostering overall, but you've been sort of a prominent figure on the Tampa animal welfare scene for many, many years. So, before we go any further, let's hear a little bit of the Jack Tallman story. You obviously have a real passion and love for animals. Is that lifelong? Did that start when you were a kid, or what's how long does that go back?
Yes, it started when I was in elementary school. I grew up in Tennessee, and we had beagles and collies and shepherds, and so I've always had a love for animals. Most recently, I started Fostering is Cool. It became an effort back about 4 years ago. I had a cat that I adored named Lotto, and I lost him in 2005 and wanted to do something to memorialize him, and thus we started Fostering is Cool.
Cool. Well, we'll absolutely delve into that one sec. I just want to get a little bit more of your story first, just kind of as backdrop and context for that. So in Tennessee, there was beagles and there were shepherds and other dogs. And was there like some sort of a pivotal moment growing up that you felt like a particular connection or kinship with animals, or were you just always kind of a lifelong animal lover but didn't necessarily do anything particularly till later in life with them directly, as you have obviously in recent years?
Well, exactly. When we had animals in Knoxville, it was a little bit of a different world back then, as far as animals weren't contained or chained or whatnot and just allowed to run. So everybody had an animal. My passion has always been there, and just in the last few years have I had an opportunity to really exercise that passion.
Sure. And for most of your adult life, you know, had a whole different career, a transportation company, I think, as I understand it. Maybe tell us a little bit about that that work.
I was in the transportation industry for 25 years, and what I found is when you're setting up an organization to foster animals, it's not a lot different than having a sales organization. You have to have the right people, and you have to treat people like you would want yourself treated. So a lot of what I learned in the sales industry has helped me in the animal world.
Sure. What role did you play? If I'm not mistaken, you kind of helped on some level, at least, launch the Animal Coalition of Tampa. What role did you play in getting that launched?
Well, I started working, actually just taking stray cats that I had caught in my complexes. I have some complexes, my office, and I'd used them back in the early 2000s. When they first started, they would have a spay day once a month, and they would use various veterinary clinics in the county, who veterinarians donated their clinic for spay day.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2005, I happened to run into the founders of Animal Coalition of Tampa at an animal event shortly after I'd lost Lotto, and wanted to do, just asking them if I could do something to help memorialize Lotto.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a great opportunity to help start Animal Coalition of Tampa. So I was enjoyed doing that.
That's great. So you kind of helped them further the sort of the birth of that organization and memorialize Lotto at the same time. So that was kind of a nice way to do that for for all parties. Yeah. So, all right. So let's really discuss fostering is cool. So you kind of alluded to when and how you decided to create a little bit, but when did you specifically recognize the need for something as specific as fostering is cool?
I believe I was at a animal-based charities event, whose animal-based charities was founded by Rick Medina.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at one of their first event, which I believe was in 2009. And I had been thinking about fostering, and I thought that would be maybe a good way to get the word out on how important fostering is.
Yeah.
Fostering, what it actually does is it increases the capacity of our local shelter and our rescue groups by having families or fosters out there that give these animals a chance that might not otherwise make it out of the rescue. So it was kind of like a light went off, and I knew it was going to be a big event with a lot of people, and I thought it would be a good opportunity to start talking fostering, and just came up with the fostering is cool to let people know it's not hard work. It's very enriching.
Sure. Well, it's cool on a bunch of levels. So maybe for the purpose of discussing this further, and hopefully maybe interesting some folks out there listening to get on board with fostering is cool, and just, you know, fostering generally, maybe you could discuss a little bit more about the criteria, because you sort of explained in passing that some of those animals aren't going to make it out of the shelter. So are there certain factors that are important that fostering helps kind of bridge those animals, you know, out of what may or may not be the greatest fate for them onto foster homes and therefore permanent homes?
Yes, there is. Hillsborough County Animal Services is what's known as an open access shelter. So every animal that's presented to them, they pretty much have to take. A lot of the animals that come into that shelter are too small or too young to be spayed or neutered or adopted. Cats, mostly more cats than dogs. Usually the puppies are able to get out to rescues because there seems to be more of a demand for the puppies.
Mm.
But what happens is if a mom with a nursing kittens comes in, or we have orphan kittens that are under 2 pounds,
mm-hmm.
Their fate is pretty grim. The animal services does not have the personnel, the funds, or the facilities to care for these orphans and nursing kittens.
Right.
Therefore, whatever we do on a no-kill basis, whatever evolves on no-kill for animal services, these little babies do not fall under that umbrella.
So, because they fall below the criteria that would
correct.
Enable them to sort of be eligible for adoption or even, right,
that's,
okay.
That's true.
Yeah.
So what we really need, and I treat my fosters as customers. You have to. You're doing a very important social enriching thing for these animals. So we're looking for fosters.
And when you say fosters now, you mean the actual humans that are doing the fostering, whereas some people say fosters and they mean the animals.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
we're looking for what we call foster parents.
Right. Okay. There you go.
For these animals.
Mm-hmm.
And the easiest ones to foster, some people have different comfort levels to begin with. If I've got a 3 or 4 week old kitten that has been weaned and only needs, at 8 weeks, they can be spayed and neutered and adopted out. So if I've got a 3 week old kitten that has been weaned and can eat on its own, then that's some people may feel comfortable with them,
mm-hmm.
because it's a little less work and less experience needed.
Sure.
The next ones that, as far as a skill level, would be the mom with the nursing kittens, because mom does all the work up until their time. Once they're weaned, then the foster parents can start feeding them. And so basically what we do, though, and let me back up a little bit, we recruit fosters from Hillsborough County for rescue groups in the county. So once you go to www.fosteringiscool.com and fill out an application, that application comes in to me, and then I contact a rescue group that I think that you'll work good with, or maybe be in your geographic area. And now let me backtrack. So you've got your 3 or 4 week old kittens, which are probably the easiest foster, then your mom's with the nursing kittens, and then you've got what we call neonatals. And those need to be bottle fed. And those require a special foster parent, and that they need to be bottle fed 2 to 3 times a day for up to 3 to 4 weeks until they are can eat on their own.
Yeah.
But any of these kittens or puppies can be spayed or neutered at 8 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and kittens about the same age.
Okay. So it sounds like, first of all, let me let folks know this is Talking Animals. If you just tune in, my guest is Jack Tallman, founder of Fostering is Cool. If you'd like to ask Jack a question about fostering or Fostering is Cool, or offer a comment on those things, please call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. So it sounds like, Jack, from what you described, that there's a certain amount of almost like matchmaking that you're doing when you described, you know, going to the Hillsborough County Animal Services, seeing what the animal situation is. Someone applies to Fostering is Cool to be a foster parent, and then you sort of take that information, what they're willing to do or able to do, where they live, and then match that up with a rescue so that everybody's going to sort of work in concert to get that animal out of the shelter into some sort of foster home and then ultimately into a permanent home.
Yes, actually, I send the foster parents' application to a rescue, usually in their geographic area, to make it easier for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that rescue knows that they've got a foster, then they'll go to Hillsborough County Animal Services and pick a foster kitten,
mm-hmm.
or puppy,
okay.
that they think will work with what that person's skill level is or what they're comfortable with.
Sure. And so what's involved in the application to become foster parent under Fostering is Cool? Is there certain guidelines and then once you've said, okay, yeah, this you sound right up our alley, is there a certain sort of training or guidance that you can provide, especially if they're not otherwise experienced in fostering?
Yes, I don't make the decision myself. I just send my application to the rescue. Each rescue has their own application and paperwork.
I see.
I just let them know that this person is interested in fostering.
Okay.
And I give them their contact information.
I see. So you're kind of adding to their pool of potential fosters, and then they, whatever organization it is, has their own system and protocol that then they take that application from and say, okay, this person's, you know, looks great for us. Let's get them a puppy or a kitten from the shelter this, you know, this afternoon or tomorrow, whatever, and then that continues the process.
That's right. Exactly.
And then is Fostering is Cool involved after that point, or is it sort of just trying to make that connection and launch that foster parent with that rescue organization, and then from there the rescue organization kind of oversees and helps that person, or are you guys still involved in some way depending on the situation? Or
we're not involved in the actual fostering because the rescue takes care of that. But mm-hmm. I do like to stay in close touch with the foster parents that I have recommended to rescues. And they can contact me at any point in time with any issues or problems. Usually I'm close to the rescues that they're working with. And most of the time, any problems or issues that they're working with, or if they just want to call me and tell me thank you, or if they have a friend, that would be great. Mm-hmm. If they have a friend who wants to foster because
sure.
what they're doing, if they want to recommend somebody. We've got, just to give you an idea, there's about 2,000 mamas with nursing kittens and orphan kittens that meet a grim fate every year at Hillsborough County Animal Services because they fall under that weight where they can be spayed and neutered. And these are the ones, and also puppies, but these are the ones that we're trying to just give them a little time.
Mm-hmm.
They just need a little time, and then we can find their forever home.
Sure. So those sound like truly urgent cases, really, because as you say, if someone can intervene, grab them out of there, put them in a foster home so that they then can be, you know, meet the criteria to be spayed, neutered, and then adopted out, bingo. We've got a much better, happier story than otherwise if they don't get out of there and they don't meet that weight level.
Yeah, it also dramatically increases the live release rate at Hillsborough County Animal Services.
Sure.
We're saving a lot of animals.
Right.
If we can save, it'd be great if we can save them all, but if we save 1,500 of these kittens and moms and puppies, euthanasia rate would drop dramatically.
For sure. Well, let's look at a few numbers. If you said this already, I'm sorry if I missed it, but when was Fostering is Cool founded? It's about 4 years or thereabouts? Or
2009.
Okay, yeah. So it's about 4 years at this point. And how many animals, how many animals would you say that Fostering is Cool has been responsible for placing in those temporary homes en route to permanent homes in the way that we've just described?
To this point, we've probably saved around 500.
Yeah, that's amazing.
We'd like to, we're really trying to kick it up a notch, and I
sure.
appreciate you giving me an opportunity.
Yeah.
It's just like anything we do in life. You persevere, and you're patient, and you have a goal, and that's our goal at this point.
And how many rescue organizations do you work with under the Fostering is Cool umbrella?
Probably five at the most. There's some that do not pull their animals from Hillsborough County Animal Services for
okay.
one reason or another.
All right. And that's your focus. That's really the focus of Fostering is Cool.
That's the focus
yeah.
of Fostering is Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not that they don't want to pull. A lot of these rescues are so full just with dogs and cats and animals showing up in various areas. It's
sure.
not because they don't want to.
Right.
But some of them focus on animal services, and those are the ones we want to work with.
I gotcha. And can it be widened out from there, from the five organizations that are there about you're working with, even though, you know, acknowledging that some, you know, aren't going to necessarily have either the resources or the operation that enables them to pull from Hillsborough County Animal
yes.
Services? Are there more that you're hoping to add?
Well, I do work with other fosters, so I encourage mm-hmm. Those fosters, those rescues, we don't turn down. We're not going to say no to.
Sure, no. If anything,
any
I would
animal.
Think you'd want to sort of widen it out,
right.
if you could.
So
what's the process to add more?
Well, say if somebody and say if a rescue gets a call in the middle of the night and somebody's found a mom and some nursing kittens up on Northdale Mabry or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they may be full and may not have the resources. They may call Fostering Is Cool and say, do you have a foster that can help us in this situation? And I'm hoping we do.
Sure.
In those situations, we always react. So it's not exclusively, I mean, we'll try to help a rescue no matter where
of course.
Their needy puppies and kittens or animals are.
Right. And so, Jack, in a situation like you just described, I mean, is Fostering Is Cool, as many animals and people as you're sort of coordinating and helping, is it pretty much just kind of a one-man operation? So, like, if you get that call from someone late at night, I mean, are there situations where just because, you know, the circumstances are kind of dire and it is late at night or on a weekend or whatever it might be, where you end up, at least temporarily, taking the animals in question and sort of semi-fostering or, temporarily fostering in the way to an actual foster home? Or
Not normally. Normally what happens is the person who finds the animal will contact a rescue. And
mm-hmm.
they'll probably, and if they contact me, I'll put them in touch with a rescue. And
okay.
then, because they're better suited to take care of the animal in that situation, I'm better suited to find them a foster.
I see. Yeah, I just didn't know if... you know, there was actual people more directly within Fostering Is Cool that, you know, especially in an emergency situation or whatever, could take someone just, you know, even if it was just for a few days until an actual ongoing foster home.
Well, we would.
Yeah.
Normally that hasn't been the case. I've
okay.
had those middle of the night calls.
Sure.
And,
well, there's certainly a lot of pictures of you, including some that we've used this week, with very, very tiny baby kittens and stuff. So I can only assume some of those that you've stepped in and helped.
Well, those two baby kittens
yeah.
came from Hillsborough County Animal Services.
Oh, yeah.
And so one of the rescues... foster parents brought those in to a meeting that I had, and they're the person was bottle feeding them two or three times a day. So perfect bottle feeders would be like perhaps senior citizens. And we teach, if you don't feel comfortable, we have very experienced foster parents throughout the area
mm-hmm.
who've been doing this for years and years and
yeah.
years. We call them mentors.
Okay.
So we try to use these mentors to put them in touch with people that don't feel totally comfortable even before they get their first litter of puppies or kittens
mm-hmm.
or a kitten. When you go to online to our application, you can just put on there what you prefer, and then that helps me know which rescue to send your application.
Sure. Well, that's a really important point that I want to talk to you again. This is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guest is Jack Tallman, founder of Fostering Is Cool. And we invite you to join the conversation if you'd like by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing dj@wmnf.org. So talk a little bit about what kind of people foster. I mean, I'm sure there's all kinds of people who foster, but maybe there's certain prototypes or others that you could mention.
Well, the families with young children is really do a lot of fostering, because a lot of parents want their children to know how a kitten or a puppy grows up or how it's conceived or
mm-hmm.
know more about and in turn be able to respect the animals and
sure.
learn at a young age.
Sure.
So I've had a number of parents with young children who have done that. Also, we've got people who are stay-at-home moms or senior citizens. It's a great way to have a companion for a short time.
Sure.
Know that you've saved an animal. So it crosses just about every
right.
generation.
Well, plus, I would think, too, that there's so many people more and more over the years that telecommute, work at home, that I would think would also be great candidates, because especially if they're, you know, animals that need to be bottle fed or other kind of some special attention. If you're, you know, working in your den or wherever you're working, you know, instead of going into an office, I would imagine you'd be ideal for those kind of situations.
Maybe not bottle feeders, but definitely moms with nursing kittens.
Okay.
Or like a 4 or 5 week old kitten, because
okay.
they don't require much attention.
Okay. Yeah.
Bottle feeders does require, even if you're working home, they need bottle feeding.
Pretty high demands.
Now,
yeah.
I do have a wonderful foster who works downtown, and she bottle feeds her babies in the morning. She comes home at work and bottle feeds them, and bottle feeds them at night.
Wow.
That's a little
dedication.
That's a little
yeah.
extraordinary. But,
yeah.
It depends upon what you're comfortable with. But yes, a lot of them take care of themselves.
Sure. So for people who are listening who haven't fostered, that may be thinking, oh, you know, boy, it sounds like it's really important and saves these animals' lives. I mean, what are the biggest challenges, or what are the biggest reservations that you found over the years that people have in saying, I just don't know if I'm cut out for fostering. What? I mean, there must be some things that you hear where people are well-meaning, but they're just not quite ready to step into that world.
Usually, they think that it's a time issue, that they don't have the time to do so. And a lot of times they don't. Many times the potential foster parent doesn't realize it's a lot easier than they think it's going to be. And once they know that they've got a mentor, they've got a rescue, they've got a foster coordinator they're working with, we give them a lot of support. It doesn't cost them any money either. The rescue supplies
the food,
food,
veterinary
medical attention.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you might have a frantic moment in the middle of the night where one's sick, but you've always got somebody on call
to call.
That you can talk to.
Yeah. And also, it sounds like from the application process, people could kind of shape what they're willing to do to their schedule, their comfort level, their experience level, so that they can go ahead and do the right, you know, get the right foster for their circumstances.
Well, we can even do short-term fosters. Sometimes we get one of the rescues will get a dog in that has had surgery and just needs to be inactive for a couple of weeks, or
mm-hmm.
needs to be out of the shelter under care. So if somebody just wants to foster for 2 weeks, we can find those situations, whether
sure.
it be a dog or a cat, maybe a cat's injured. So it's not always a long-term commitment. And once you send the application in, it's not a done deal. I mean, we'll work you through it, and it's completely up
right.
to the foster parent.
So there's someone always there supporting you if you're a little nervous or haven't done it before. You've got you, you've got your mentors, you've got the rescue. So there's all kinds of help and support and guidance, so that you should always kind of feel comfortable and not feel reluctant to jump in.
Exactly. I mean, there's going to be incidences where you get a little nervous, but
right. Well, we get a little nervous no matter what we do every day, right?
That's right.
So, yeah. So I'm a little nervous right now. So all right, let's take one of our callers. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Jack Tallman.
Yes. Hi.
Hi. Go ahead. It's you.
Yes, I'm currently fostering animals, and I had a question.
Okay. Go ahead, please.
Oh. Okay. I guess my biggest challenge and question to you would be, what would be getting attached to the dog?
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up, because I seem to hear that a lot. So thanks for your call. You sound like you're on kind of a rough sell spot, so we're going to hang up and let Jack answer that. So I think the question is, as we sort of talked about actually before we went on the air, often what you hear about concern people have about fostering is getting attached to that animal, and then after X amount of weeks or months or whatever, then, you know, handing that animal over to their permanent home. Maybe you could speak to that, Jack, a little bit, how that actually works in practice.
Well, that happens. You get very attached to your foster animal. if you've had it 4 or 5 weeks at a time. We don't, I mean, if you want to adopt that animal, you can do so.
That's not the worst outcome, right?
No, it's not the worst outcome, but then...
Except it takes people out of the potential for fostering again, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. And we need more foster families. And I've had a lot of young parents with young children who have gone through the same situation where the children want to keep it, and the parents know... They just say, you know, they explain to them, and this is great education for the children. You know, if we send these back to the shelter, they're going to get a wonderful home, and when we're ready, we're going to get another litter, and we're going to be able to save more. But you can still adopt one,
right,
and keep and foster again.
Right, yeah.
Just don't adopt the whole litter, maybe.
Right. Well, that's the thing, because, I mean, I think the people that have that, that concern, and we have talked about that, more than a few times on the show over the years, is that you just have to kind of, you know, go with it and sort of, you know, get over it a little bit, or get over that concern, because meanwhile, as we've already heard, there's just so many animals that need your help and need a home, and the flip side of that, maybe we'll get in a bit more, there are probably some examples you could cite to Jack, but I know there's people that foster regularly. There's our great music director here, Flea, and his wife, Lauren, foster all the time. In fact, our dog, Daisy, is one that they fostered, and they continue to foster, and they're obviously enriched by it and feel very satisfied and know that they're doing all kinds of cool things. So instead of feeling, oh, sad, like I have to hand over this dog or this cat, it's the flip side that, like, sure, I'll miss this cat or dog, but look what I'm doing and look how I'm helping a situation that otherwise could be a bit dire.
Well, exactly. And I think it's something that normally comes up, but if you really think the situation out, there's so many out there that need your help. If you want to adopt, that's fine. We won't say no.
Sure.
We'll ask you, would you like to foster again? And if not, that's fine. You've saved an animal. So
yeah. You're still in the plus column.
Still in the plus column. But, we would hope you'd foster again, but if you don't, just we'll keep you on our radar and send you a newsletter and keep you up to date.
And what do people tell you, Jack, that over the time you've been doing this, and again, 500 some odd animals you've helped through fostering is cool. What have you heard people say are the biggest rewards or virtues? I mean, I'm sure there must be kind of a range of things from person to person or family to family, but what typically emerges is the biggest things they tout about the fostering experience?
Just the enrichment of seeing that animal develop into an adoptable dog or cat, the growth, the enjoyment, the playtime, it goes on and on and
sure.
on, but it's all good.
Yeah. And so so for folks who might like to join the Fostering is Cool ranks, basically, they just go to fosteringiscool.com, yes. and there's information and an application there. And what's the sort of timetable? Let's say somebody, heard the show today and this afternoon. They, said, you know what? I've been thinking about doing that anyway. I'm going to do it. And they go online and they fill out an application. What's the general timetable from there?
Generally, you'll be contacted within, if you go to fosteringiscool.com and go to the tab Apply for Foster, and complete as much as that application as you feel comfortable with. I'm in the process of shortening up a little bit, but, from the time that application comes directly to my email, I see it as soon as you submit it. So at that point, I'm starting to call foster or rescue groups immediately and tell them that I've got a foster, application who's interested in a dog or a cat or whatever. So, from the time that you submit it to me until you hear from the rescue group, should be no longer than a week.
Wow.
And I'm giving myself a little fudge room there.
That's great. All right, let's take another call. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Jack Tallman from Fostering is Cool. It's you. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, it's your turn. Go ahead, please. Okay. Little misunderstanding there, apparently. But let's read a couple of the emails that have come in. One says, Humane Society of Pinellas County is always looking for fosters for dogs and cats. Kitten season is just starting. It's a great way to help out these poor little guys and contribute to the community. HSPC.org. Glad you're spreading the word. Have a great day. So, although our focus here are fostering in schools, focus is Hillsborough County Animal Services. There's, of course, other organizations and shelters in the area that have the same kind of purpose and need. So, actually, speaking of Flea, we've just heard from him by email saying, plus about half the people that adopt the animal keep in contact. So, yeah, this is another really cool virtue, I think. It's great to see how the animal is doing on an ongoing basis. So sometimes people stay in touch or email pictures or see the dog, nearby if they're in the same neighborhood. We happen to live on the other side of the state, so unfortunately Flea and Lauren don't get to see Daisy as often as they might like, but we certainly keep them posted. So, yeah, that's another cool kind of neat thing is like, hey, here's what we did. Here's where this dog or cat went, and here's how it's going for these this family and the animal in question, years in the future.
Well, that's true. And one thing, the email that came in from Pinellas, if I get a foster application from another county in the state or whatnot, I'll contact a rescue in that county and put that person in touch with that rescue.
So great. That's good to know. So though your focus is Hillsborough County Animal Services, that's not your services are not really confined to that.
No, we're not going to turn down anybody. I mean, we'll point
you'll
them in
help
the right
whoever
direction.
It is. Yeah. Yes. Oh, that's great. That's great. So again, all the more reason would seem then to go to fosteringiscool.com and fill out an application wherever you live, really, wherever you're hearing this.
Sure.
Yeah.
We know most all the rescues in the state.
Sure. Well, Jack, we're sort of nearing the end of our time, but I do want to sort of ask a few other things more broadly. Among your other animal activities, you're, if I'm not mistaken, a member of the Hillsborough County Animal Advisory Committee. Maybe you could talk a little bit about what the committee does and what its sort of responsibilities are.
The Animal Advisory Committee is an advisory committee that links the Board of County Commissioners with Hillsborough County Animal Services. Each of the seven commissioners appoint a representative to that committee, and the committee meets once a month at County Center, and we get a report from Animal Services, and we talk about animal issues in general and usually that involve Animal Services. We have public comment, but it's mainly an advisory committee that keeps the commission informed of what's going on and also keep Animal Services. We're kind of like a communication between the two.
I see.
We just finished a great, we just had a task force that was consisted of the 10 Animal Advisory Committee members and three other members, and we met eight times, and on April 17th, and the goal of the task force was to come up with ways to lower euthanasia at Hillsborough County Animal Services. So that task force has completed. We've made the recommendations to Ian Hallett, the Animal Services Director, and I believe on the 17th of April, he is going to make his report to the Board of County Commissioners, and we're really hoping that great things come out of that to lower euthanasia at Animal Services.
So that'll be 2 weeks from today that report will be delivered. So, yeah, I think we'll all be very, very interested in that. And the euthanasia is sort of no-kill issues at Hillsborough County and really everywhere you go is usually a very sort of complicated and emotionally charged issue that hooks into spay neuter and sometimes hooks into how people view dealing with feral cats or community cats. It can be a polarizing issue, I think, because you get different camps feeling very strongly about some of those things. Can you reveal what at least in just a couple instances, at least what the task force recommended, or is that sort of not appropriate till Mr. Hallett has released his report 2 weeks from today?
I think it would be more appropriate until he releases his report.
Okay, because that'll reflect the input that the task force had, presumably.
Exactly. Yeah. And the Animal Advisory Committee was able to review. We had a facilitator, and the facilitator put together a recommendations to go to Mr. Hallett. So he has... We don't know, and I don't know what recommendations he picks out of there. So for me to make a comment on that,
sure.
I wouldn't.
Right,
it might not be accurate.
I got you. Okay. Well, we'll await that on 2 weeks from today eagerly. And Jack, gosh, thank you so much for joining us today on Talking Animals. This has been Jack Tallman from Fostering Is Cool. And I should mention too that as soon as I started mentioning that you were coming on the show on Facebook and sent out email blasts, I got a string of people saying we love Jack. Jack's the greatest. Yay, Jack. So you have a huge, huge number of fans out here in the whole Tampa Bay animal welfare community, as you should. So thanks for all your great work. And again, it's fosteringiscool.com. Jack, thanks for all your great work. And we'll keep up on your progress. And you're just doing so great. So thanks again.
Thank you, Duncan. We appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. All right. Let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner. This is Jim Gaffigan with a part of a piece called I'm a Manatee on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
My favorite animal is the manatee, the sea cow. The manatee is endangered with extinction, and I think it's because it's out of shape. It looks like a retired football player. You ever see the manatee on the Discovery Channel? It's always floating around like, I'm bloated. Too much pizza for me. The manatee is also called the sea cow. Sea cow, that sounds like an insult. It's almost as if the manatee was introduced to the ocean, the other animals were like, who's the new guy? The manatee was like, oh, hi, everyone. You can call me the manatee.
Yeah, right, sea cow.
Name's Manatee.
Sea cow, fat ass.
Quit it.
I'd love to see the manatee on a show like Ricky Lake. The manatee be sitting there like, Ricky, I'm here because I'm endangered. And then one of those mean people in the audience would offer up the advice, yeah, I want to say something to the sea pig. That sea cow, whatever. Sea pig, you a fat seal, you got to get yourself an education and a job. The manatee be like, I live in the ocean. Just so happen you live in the ocean because you ain't got no job. You got to get in Weight Watchers, some kind of program.
I have a layer of blubber to keep my body warm in the water.
Whatever, talk to the hand.
I don't have a hand.
What if a manatee was in the audience? They might laugh, but they'd be crying on the inside. It doesn't look like God tried that hard on the manatee, does it? He's like, all right, blunt flip-flops. What the hell? Let's go with the goatee. You know what? I got a golf game. Throw this around Florida. It'll fit in. Hey, I'm from Florida. I don't think God plays golf.
All right, that's Jim Gaffigan, who's playing the fabulous Moon Tower Comedy Festival, by the way, in Austin later this month, with part of a piece called I'm a Manatee, taken from his album Doing My Time. I'm Duncan Strauss. Towards the end of the show, we'll play Name That Animal Tune. The winner will win a pair of tickets to catch Tiff Merritt and Simone Dinderstein performing at the Straz this Saturday, April 6th. We'll do that in a few moments here on Talking Animals. Right now, it's time for some animal news and announcements. Justin Bieber, come on, man, sprinting towards some sort of major meltdown. The latest thing, which ties into this show, teenage pop sensation Justin Bieber has been given a month to provide German authorities with the papers they need to release his pet monkey, Molly. Customs officials seized Bieber's capuchin monkey at Munich Airport last week when the 19-year-old failed to present the health and species protection certificates required to bring the pet into the country. Bieber was visiting Munich to give a concert and has since continued on his tour and shelters where he's now. The monkey's now ensconced. Said the monkey is around 14 weeks old, has been taken away from its mother too early, and was receiving veterinary care. From the AP, the environmental impacts of an oil spill in central Arkansas began to come into focus early this week, as officials said a couple of dead ducks and 10 live oily birds were found after an ExxonMobil pipeline ruptured last week. Quote, I'm an animal lover, a wildlife lover, as probably most of the people here are, Faulkner County Judge Alan Dodson told reporters. We don't like to see that. No one does. Officials are urging people in Mayflower, a small city about 20 miles northwest of Little Rock, not to touch any injured or oiled birds as crews clean up Friday's spill. About 12,000 barrels of oil and water have been recovered since ExxonMobil's Pegasus pipeline sprung a leak, spewing oil onto lawns and roadways and nearly fouling a nearby lake. Locally here, mentioned this last week, as a reminder, Students Protecting the Environment and Animals Through Knowledge, or SPEAK, will be hosting a talk by Wayne Pacelli, President of the Humane Society of the United States, today, April 3rd. And that's at the Marshall Student Center at 4103 Cedar Circle in Tampa. It's at 6 p.m., and he'll be talking about history of HSUS, how he got started, ways students can be more involved and show compassion to animals. He'll also have his book, The Bond, Our Kinship with Animals, Our Call to Defend Them, available to sign and for purchase. April 11th is National Pet Day. So that day recognizes the nation's love of pets. It's also an ideal time to raise awareness, what people can do. Great time to adopt or foster, right? Even before that, why wait till the 11th? Also coming up April 13th, Chasco Fiesta Pet Adoption Fair from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Orange Lake in Newport Richey. Adoptable pets, pet vendors, food vendors, carnival boat parade at 1 p.m. and more. You can go to Chasco, C-H-A-S-C-O, Fiesta.com for more information. And also looking ahead a little further down the road, the Humane Society of Tampa Bay is holding its 11th annual Tuxes and Tails fundraising gala Saturday, April 20th from 6 to 11 p.m. at Tampa Marriott Waterside. Find out more at TuxesandTailsTampa.com or, of course, HumaneSocietyTampa.org. And one thing I was kind of concerned with from my old stomping grounds, Southern California, federal marine wildlife officials said that a mass stranding of malnourished sea lion pups along the Southern California coast since January has intensified in recent weeks, and researchers remain unsure of the cause. Officials declared an unusual mortality event for the California sea lion, a designation that prompts immediate federal response after a significant die-off of a marine mammal population. The declaration comes as sea lion pups have been found stranded on Southern California beaches from Santa Barbara to San Diego at rates exponentially higher than in years past. In Los Angeles, for instance, nearly 400 pups have been stranded since the beginning of the year. Last year, just 36 were reported stranded. So hopefully they get to the bottom of that and get those things fixed up, those seal pups. All right, so I am Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals. We have just about reached the end of today's edition of the show. We'll be back next Wednesday, April 10th, when our guest will be Tom Kenny, actor, comedian, musician, and voiceover actor extraordinaire, particularly in the world of animation, giving voice to such talking animals as SpongeBob SquarePants, Gary the Snail, Dog and Cat Dog, the Latter-day Rabbit, and Winnie the Pooh, and more. Hope you'll join us for that. Should be a really fun show. Again, he's a musician, so we'll probably talk about some cool animal tunes that he likes. Maybe even play one or two that he favors. Anyway, so that's all next Wednesday, April 10th, here on Talking Animals. I hope you also visit our website, talkinganimals.net. And have links to the Facebook page, Twitter, and more. Talking Animals broadcast outreach consultant and Jill of all trades is Libby Busalis. My thanks to her. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. For closing out today's show with an animal song, this is Mike Snow with Animal, taking us up to the NPR News on WMNF, Tampa, Brandon, Clearwater, Largo, WeekyWatchy, and beyond. Thanks for listening. Speak with you again next Wednesday at 9 a.m. on Talking Animals. Thanks. There was a time All right, we ran out of time for our Name That Animal Tune contest, but the first person who calls in 813-239-9663 will get themselves a pair of tickets to see Tiff Merritt and Simone Dinerstein at the Straz this Saturday, April 6th. 813-239-9663. Sorry about the game. We'll do it again next week.